from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's up, Hammer?
What's going on, gentlemen?
We're playing Who He Play For, NFL edition, as we realized all of these quarterbacks like change places now. We were trying to figure out where Zach Wilson plays and all of these different guys. And Kenny pulled up the free agency list of all of the different players who...
I got one more.
Okay.
I got one more. Danielle Hunter, former Vikings.
I can't believe they let him go. Danielle Hunter's a baller.
He's a Cowboy?
Oh.
It is not the
Cowboy. He's a Cowboy.
The Commanders?
It's not the Commanders.
Well, hell, is it the Eagles or Giants? Let's just run through the rest of the division.
I'll give you a hint. Jesse was pretty close.
I don't remember what Jesse said. What was his guess for this one?
The Cowboys?
I don't know what's close to the Cowboys. The Texans?
Yes.
Texans.
Oh, you in proximity.
That Texans team is going to be fun.
I think so, too.
It'll be interesting.
I think so, too, man.
It'll be interesting.
Did Hammer, did you watch any of the game yesterday?
No, not really. I tried to watch a little bit while we were out to dinner, but it was and then it got delayed and all that stuff, so it got a little weird.
But it started raining, so I missed that part. Is that what it was, thunderstorms?
Yeah, it was delayed. Yeah, it was raining bad. Like when by the time we got home, the game was delayed. It just never came back. They were like, the hell with it.
Good decision, guys.
Friends don't let friends watch preseason football. Like,
well, Hall of Fame game. I watch preseason.
Hall of Fame game isn't even really preseason. It's like the Hall of Fame game is like the California Classic. It's really cool for the people there, but not anybody else.
Yeah, it's one of those things. If you watch preseason football and then you play fantasy football, it can ruin you. Because you're like, oh my gosh, this guy looks so good. And then he's literally the fifth wide receiver on somebody. Or he gets cut. He's a fourth running back. You're like, oh, well, he had 125 yards. Like, yeah, that doesn't matter. Yeah, preseason football is the devil.
It also doesn't help when you watch the California Classic in a dump like the Golden One Center.
Well.
Oh, yeah, it's such a hole. Yeah. Yeah, just the worst.
Do better, Vivek. Trash arena. No life to it. The amazing food smells don't circulate the entire arena the whole day.
The workers there. Oh.
Oh, man. Who wants to talk to that Lee guy? Goodness gracious.
Man. Yeah,
Lee. I love
guy.
Lee.
The only thing I would say that isn't really an issue, but it is noticeable is, and this isn't breaking news. This is literally like the first thing anybody ever said was it is pretty steep up in the upper deck.
That's terrifying.
Yep. Oh, it's steep. Yeah, it's no.
steep in that upper deck, boy.
It convinces you very quickly that that's the last time you're paying for cheap seats. You're like, nope, I'm going to pay the extra 40, 50 bucks a seat. I'm not sitting up there again.
I went up there I went up there for a game earlier this year, and it literally
to say hi to the poor people?
No, I was up
there. We know you don't go up there.
I was watching the game.
Short on t-shirts.
I was up there, and it did look like I was looking straight down on the court. I was like, wow.
The view is really good.
It helps keep it loud.
Well,
because if you go out this way, this is like the payoff. Yeah, this is the payoff for having a loud arena. If you go out, that the noise changes a little bit. You go up, that noise goes. Kevin Herter hits that three, that noise goes down.
Yeah. Man.
I'll ask maybe James. James wouldn't know, but I'll ask Damien because he's been there and he was there the other night. Was the Golden One ever as loud for a basketball game as it was when Chris Brown hit the stage? It doesn't feel like it.
That was one of the loudest.
That was a pitch.
Crowd reactions, yeah, that I've ever heard. Like
I said,
he has a really passionate fan base.
You think it could get that loud for a basketball game?
Yeah. But the roar for a basketball game is different
than, was screams.
Yeah.
You're right.
That was someone probably in the front row passed out type screaming. Like I'm not going to go full Michael Jackson carry them out of the Golden One Center.
Right.
Though I think we might have seen that once or twice.
No way. Somebody got carried out of the concert.
Somebody got aggressively removed from the concert.
And that's why you're 96th in this.
See, that's why. That's why.
I told you I went to a show. And some lady came up behind me and started yelling at me because she thought I was standing in front of someone in a wheelchair, which I was not. I had looked and made sure and checked with the lady to make sure that I wasn't in front of her. And this other lady came up and just started barking in my ear. And next thing you know, all my security peeps came out of the woodwork like, we got her. Like, what's her problem? We got her, James.
Damn, I'm like, James.
That's right.
Hey,
that's
right. I don't know if you guys saw it. I was in the media section, not the seats, but the media area for the playing game. You know, it's different than
down by the tunnel.
Yeah, so I was there, and I peeked out, like, during the third quarter. I was going back to where the seats were or whatever, and I was just talking to people, and the security guards were like, yo, this game is wild. They said that game was wild. They had about three or four.
Oh, that was the Warriors one. Yeah.
It said people were drinking good. So I saw with my own two eyes somebody coming out of the lounge, and they didn't make it back to their seat.
No.
There's usually like those highly contested games with the Warriors where things get a little loose. On occasion, the Lakers games get like that. But I guarantee every single time the Philadelphia 76ers roll into town, there's a fight in the stands. I do not know what it is. Like, it goes back to Arco. There's always a fight in the stands. Anytime Philly's in town.
Arco was popping like that?
Oh, yeah. One time they're playing 76ers, and the whole upper deck had mostly cleared out, and there was a guy running from security up and down aisles trying to jump over seats and run back. I'm like, what is happening? I don't even know what's happening. It gets a little wild, like, every time the Sixers are in town.
Oh, Will brings up a good point. The loudest that arena might have been is when Draymond stopped DeBonis.
Man, yo, for real.
Yeah, it was pretty.
For real.
It was loud in there. It was concerning.
Yeah.
You're talking about people getting thrown out there. There was a moment where it was like, oh, this could
What's
go.
Gonna happen next?
This could
like
go.
When he stood up on the chair.
Yeah. This could go really, really bad.
I was like, and Damien was right there. We was there together. I was like, please.
Just kind of on alert.
I was like, please, nobody go after this guy. Because it felt like
don't
that.
Don't throw anything.
Yeah. That was tough.
There was some concern for sure.
Adam Silver was sitting there like, Adam Silver was right there sitting in a row like, oh, I got to get this guy.
Yeah. He almost like grabbed the mic that came down from the ceiling. He like, get him out.
Get out.
Yeah.
Get out. That'd be great. The camera catches him. out now.
Or just like he walks over, grabs Draymond by the ear and drags him out. Like, no, not in my league, dude. Yeah. Wild stuff.
Well, good thing he's a changed man and he didn't punch anybody in the face the next season.
Well, you know, that's the good thing about Draymond.
And cry with Steve Kerr. He cried with Steve Kerr after hiding from his kids for a couple of days.
Hid from his kids.
Dad, you're in a man cave. All right, bro.
Hid from his kids is crazy, man. That dude wild for that.
We need to start ranking Draymond Green lies. Between that and the, oh, he took to Draymond Green. All right, bro.
Oh, but don't forget he told the Warriors not to do the deal.
Oh, he told the Warriors not to make a trade. That's right. That's right.
That was a wild boy right there.
Hammer, Hoops Hype did a ranking of the top 30 point guards. It's the top 30 point guards in the league, but they're projecting them for the upcoming season, the 24-25 season. And they had Luka at number one, which is weird for a variety of reasons because Kyrie was at 11, but whatever. Luka was at number one. SGA was two. Jalen
APG.
Jalen Brunson was at three.
Okay.
Tyrese Halliburton was at four. Steph Curry at five. Tyrese Maxey was six. Ja, Dame was eight. And then De'Aaron Fox was number nine.
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably three spots lower than I'd put him.
We agree. Yeah.
You know, first of all, SGA is not a point guard. A ball dominant shooting guard, yeah, but like.
I don't think I told you this. Josh Giddey was on the list too. So you got a couple of teams with multiple point guards on this list.
Goodness gracious.
I guess like DeJounte Murray is their point guard. Like, no, that's Pelicans.
He was on the list too.
No, so who is the point guard?
It is SGA.
Oh, it's no.
And when Giddey was there, Giddey was. It was Giddey.
Well, I guess Giddey was.
Yeah, and Alex Caruso.
SGA is like he's the point guard. He's not a distributor, but he's the one that starts the offense, initiates the offense, and all this other stuff. Even if it's for himself, but he initiates the offense. I would say he's a point guard. I would say,
and we're not calling like DeMar DeRozan a point guard because he averages over five assists a game and he's ball dominant.
No, Kobe White was their point guard.
So does Domas. Like, right. Is Domas a point guard?
Yeah,
Kobe White was their point guard. He was the guy that would bring it up, initiate the offense, get it to DeRozan, all that other stuff.
I don't know. Like, I don't know who you want to like anoint as a point guard there, but I mean, all I know is that Giddey was a point guard the whole time, and I don't know why, like. Ja Morant has to earn a spot in the top six point guards. I mean, the dude hasn't played in forever. I mean, between suspension and injury and other suspension and other injury, I mean, like, what are we doing here? You can't project him. I mean, he's a guy coming off shoulder surgery and a guy who missed 25 games because he was suspended. Like, I don't get how you would put him instantly above De'Aaron Fox just because. So... You know, that would be my complaint, would be SGA. You know, like right now, I think Brunson, I mean, you can give Luka the nod because he does act as a point guard and he does average 8+ assists a game. But I don't know about even Dame. I'm not putting Dame above Fox at this point.
Yeah, that was one. That was one we went back and forth on. And James, I'm not putting Tyrese above De'Aaron either.
No, that's tough. That's tough. But you know he's going to be put above him on any list as of right now. And
he's
that's
the
just because. Yeah. He is, even though he thinks he's a villain. Yeah, he's a darling. Yeah.
Well, everybody's gunning
for him.
How
are you a darling?
Everybody's gunning for him, James. He's just trying to navigate his way in the league. That's all.
Yeah, a darling and a villain in the same time. Like, that's next level. That's next level. Only Tyrese Halliburton can have both of them.
You mentioned him a little bit. I wonder what you got to say about this guy, Jalen Brunson. Do you think that's accurate for him? I mean, it seems like he got a big boost because of the playoffs. He's been playing really well as well, but playoffs, being a Knicks point guard. Do you think number three point guard in the league is accurate for Jalen Brunson?
I think it's really close. I mean, he was spectacular. I got I don't know. I mean, every time you saw him on like big stages, it was just, he's fighting through injury. He's, man, he was so good. So yeah, I don't want to take it away from a guy who's earned his spot there. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, I think he's earned his spot there. Although I don't know that I would put him above Steph. I mean, that's tough. But it's close.
Yeah.
And you know, that's where I think you get a little bit of like, Dame is going to like be there just on reputation, not on performance, because that like last season was not a good performance from him. And not only that, but let's be honest, the guy plays zero defense, and you know, that's a problem with Jaw as well. Doesn't play defense. So I don't know, as far as like, if I'm looking at the totality of point guards in the league, and you got Fox averaging 26 a game, leading the league in steals, playing plus defense, you know, 5-6 assists a game, like that, he's probably closer to 5-6 than he is, you know, 8-9-10. Mm-hmm. Just in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Brunson deserves to be where he was at in the three. Like you mentioned him, he's
that postseason was crazy.
Yeah, he's done some crazy things, man. So I got no problem with Brunson being top three, even top four. Like if you want to say Steph is still there, that's cool too. But Brunson should be in that top three or four. And I'm agree with you. I think De'Aaron Fox, I think I put him in like six when we did this earlier.
I mean, Brunson averaged 28.7 points and 6.7 assists last season. Mm. He shot 40% from three, 48% from the field, fifth in MVP. Like, yeah, he was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So
I think the thing about Tyrese too, like despite the fact that so many people love him, when you talk about a point guard, like Tyrese is a point guard,
mm-hmm.
almost to a fault. Like he is maybe not even almost. Stan Van Gundy will tell you, to a fault, he's a distributor first.
Yeah.
Like he loves the assist stat. He loves finding the right guys. Like we know from firsthand experience how much his dad loved like Magic Johnson and like that. That's what they love about Tyrese in this position.
Absolutely.
And he's such a stark contrast to a guy like Jalen, Jalen's going to get you a bucket. He'll distribute for sure. He's going to get that bucket first. Mm. Same with De'Aaron. De'Aaron going to get that bucket. He's going to find the open guy, but he's going to get that basket. Dame, you could probably throw in there, Ja as well. Tyrese, this will be a real Maxey. This will be a really interesting season for Tyrese Maxey, given what they got in Philadelphia now, Hammer.
Yeah, I think Maxey is the one that, I mean, you're kind of giving him something before he's fully earned it, as far as being ahead of Fox. But, you know, I get it because he's in a big market and you're going to sort of highlight him. But Damian Lillard shot like 35% from three last year. He averaged 24 points and 7 assists. There's no way he's a better player at this point in his career than De'Aaron Fox, at least not in my book. Like, he's, you know, again, he can't stay in front of Fox, and he never could. But at this point in his career, he's only going to get, you know, slower and worse on the defensive end. Maxey, on the other hand, I mean, I really, really like Tyrese Maxey. But I still think he didn't put up the numbers that Fox did. It's really close. But I would project, especially with Paul George there, because we're talking about projections, right? Mm. So it's not just Paul George is Paul George and Embiid, and his numbers could fall pretty substantially this season.
Do you think the point guard position in the NBA is the position with the most depth? I mean, we were talking about some of the guys that, you know, later down on the list. We got, I think, Jamal Murray was 12.
Mm-hmm.
Darius Garland was 16. That's one that always sticks out to me. DeJounte Murray was somewhere around. I mean, these guys, these are some good ball players, you know, in the late teens. Is the point guard position. And it also highlighted the fact that whether you have Fox 6, 7, 8, or 9, the fact that he's top 10 in that group, which may be the deepest group of position players in the league, is still a sign of respect. Is it the deepest group in your opinion?
Yeah, probably. I mean, again, you mentioned Kyrie, and Kyrie's not in the top 10. Like that tells, I mean, Kyrie is phenomenal too. I mean, like all the other stuff aside, yeah, he's really good. Like I think it's probably, I mean, Jamal Murray, like in the playoffs, is considered like a MVP candidate for some reason, but regular season, you know, 20, 21 points per game. That's it, like, it's a very, very deep position. And that's why I would even say, like, the fact that De'Aaron Fox plays on both ends of the court, the fact that he leads the league in steals, you know, or, you know, even if you want to say, you know, top two, he did lead the league in steals, but he came back and won it at the end. Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think we always break these guys into categories, right? I think Tyrese Halliburton might be the best pure point guard in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And we could keep breaking down players in different categories. You know, all-around player, it probably is Luka. Best shooter, it's definitely Steph. You know, so there's all of these ways that you can look at guys. But, you know, best two-way point guard in the league, Fox is one of the better. And, you know, you can I think he's a better defender than Brunson. Like, he's definitely a better defender than Luka and Steph and Ja. Like, you can name a bunch of dudes. So I think him and Maxey are the two guys, especially Tyrese isn't a good defender at all. Yeah. But, so I think we can look at him in different categories. It's definitely crazy deep, and it's way deeper than, like, the center position, even the forward positions, you know, power forward or small forward, or whatever you want to. I think it's way deeper than most positions in the league.
Do you think De'Aaron peaked defensively last year, or given that crazy, you know, he really had like an incredible final 20, maybe 30 games of the season on the defensive end. Can he be even better on that side of the floor next year?
No, I think he can. I also think, like, it's going to depend on how they use the shooting guard position. You know, if DeMar DeRozan starting at shooting guard and you come up with some other small forward, that's going to change things. If Kevin Herter's back in the starting lineup as a shooting guard, you know, De'Aaron Fox is going to be asked to do more. I think that allowing him to play a little bit like a free safety alongside Keon Ellis, you know, allowed him to pick up a bunch more steals. Keon Ellis put so much pressure on the ball that, you know, oppositions make bad passes, and Fox took advantage of that. I definitely think that the potential is there for him to at least be this type of defender for throughout his career. But again, I think it will be situational who is playing next to him. And will they force him to take the toughest player, or can they take some of that stress off of him? And again, I brought it up the other day, but that's why I think the Kings really, they will miss Devin Carter, even though he's a rookie, because he is a good defender and it's going to come in long, athletic, you know, physical, all of those things. And when you have those players alongside Fox, it does just turn him into a different player. It allows him to focus more on the offensive end. It allows him to play passing lanes and you know, freelance a little bit more than if he's got to play, you know, if he's going head to head against every single one of these great point guards that you guys keep mentioning.
Yeah, that's what I just keep hoping for, right? At some point where, you know, you get your Jaws and Trey Youngs and even Tyrese Halliburton, and they're able to hide off in the corner and guard a Tony Allen, you know, as a point guard. And for so long, they've been asking De'Aaron Fox here to guard those guys, right? Like, John and them were guys that De'Aaron had to guard, and they wouldn't guard him. Because they'd be hiding off on somebody else, you know what I mean?
So, they're throwing Lou Dort at him in OKC.
Yeah, exactly.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Exactly. So, you know, hopefully we get closer to that point where De'Aaron can do that if need be. We saw last year, though, James, he accepts the challenge. Like, especially late in the games, fourth quarter, he said, I'll guard the guy. And that's, I think that's another thing that separates him from some of those other point guards is, you know, when it's winning time, he has the ability, or he has the want to not only guard them, but the ability to be effective as well.
Yeah, I really want to see the impact of having DeMar DeRozan on the offensive end of the court, how much that helps De'Aaron Fox and sort of saves him for crucial moments in games. Because I think a lot of time, especially not last season, but the season before, I felt a lot of time Fox was so good in the fourth quarter, right? Mm-hmm. But I also felt that there was probably four or five games where you could see him running out of gas because he had so much pressure on him, both on the offensive end and the defensive end. I think having another elite closer like DeRozan will give Fox the ability to not have to be the only guy every single possession in the final 4 minutes of a game where all that pressure's on you. I think you'll be able to share that that load amongst maybe those two plus Malik Monk. And I just think it'll help save his legs. It'll help him be a stronger finisher when we get late in games. So I'm intrigued by it for sure. But we'll have to wait and see. Like, Fox is, you know, he's got to be locked in for 82. Hopefully DeMar is good for that as well, helping him out.
We'll come back. We'll get James's thoughts on some of these teams whose windows are open and closing. I have a feeling James is not going to agree with some of our takes. But we'll talk about it. James Hamm of the Insiders, our insider, our Kings insider, with us here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I'd rank that as one of the stranger commercial breaks in recent memory. Between James's chest hair and Brock Purdy causing problems for the San Francisco 49ers. That's a weird-ass headline. Purdy causing problems.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
What are we doing here?
And that's also a terrible headline. Jacoby Brissett and Drake May battle for Patriots starting quarterback. Oh. God bless it, man.
Shador going to New England. Unless Deion said that's one of the teams he might say no to.
Deion is going to say no.
I think there was only like six teams on the list that he would approve him going to.
No.
Cool Raul with the most 49ers. Ridiculous comment of the day. The most ridiculous comment of the day in the chatty house.
James there over here mind. Trying to beat sexual cinnamon. Well,
put it on a shirt.
I mean, the thinking isn't flawed.
Put it on a shirt.
Sexual cinnamon, everybody. Sexual cinnamon.
Oh, that's terrific. There we go. It's Friday. What do you want to do? After our extensive point guard conversation, we started talking about teams. And, you know, we use phrases in sports media like, you know, windows opening, windows closing, right, to talk about a team's ability to win a championship. And I think we believe that the Kings window is open, right? It's just how far is it open as compared to, like, Minnesota, as compared to Oklahoma City, and so on and so forth. So we kind of went through a handful of teams that we believe, you know, maybe the window's opening. And maybe for the Kings, the window is open, but it's not really moving. It's not moving up. It's not moving down. It's just, it's open. It's right there. Talked about Minnesota. Minnesota's window is opening.
I got them open. I got their window open.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. I phrased that wrong. It's open and it's in a spot.
But we may not be in the same spot, though.
But I think the one that we weren't in the same spot was Oklahoma City. I have Oklahoma City windows open and opening, and you don't.
You have it open,
but you're like...
It's at the peak.
Your example was perfect. Oklahoma City to you is what Minnesota is to me. Mm-hmm. Like, with Minnesota, I need to see it. Like, I've seen you guys fall flat before. Like, show me again.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, we have closing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the one we thought you might disagree with.
No, I mean, I think it's still open for like a year, but I think it is coming closer.
And it's definitely, it's open, but it's moving its way down to.
It's got a year.
I think
it's got a year. By the end of the year, it's we're closing that thing.
I think a lot differently about them this year than I do last year. I mean, just the KCP, defection, that hurt them. Getting Russell Westbrook, I don't know if that will help you because you lost Reggie Jackson. And to be honest with you, at this point in their careers, I think they're kind of a wash. I don't love the losses that they've taken over the last couple of years. Again, going back to they lost Brown the year before. That's a team that it's really difficult to remain at the top once you get there. And in all honesty, it's one of the most impressive things about the Boston Celtics. You know, they've got five guys making $30 million or more coming up, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, if you're all in on a team, you're all in, and that team should be good for 5 years. So whatever window we're talking about a Western Conference window. And whether one of these teams can elevate themselves to somehow find a way to get as good as the Boston Celtics. And that's not going to be easy. And I don't think there's anyone in the East that has a window that I would really even like think is that strong, except for maybe the Knicks outside of Boston. So, I think the Kings are coming into a window, whether it's a championship window, I don't know if I'm there yet. But I certainly think it's a multi-time playoff team with potential to do something special here and there.
I got to go to the East a little bit. I got the Knicks having the window open. I think they're a really good team, I don't know if they beat Boston, but they can compete with them. But then you get into a situation like who can take advantage of Boston if somebody has a turned ankle or something like that. And I think the Knicks could and could beat them in that situation. So I got the Knicks there for sure. Philly, everybody's got questions with Philly. Like nobody really knows anything until we see them. And that's kind of how I feel about them. I got to see these guys play a little bit.
Yeah, it's tough. Like it's one thing to build a team around superstars, right? Like we see it all the time. Teams like sort of create a team around superstars, and they have three good ones in Embiid and Paul George and Maxey. I think all of them are, you know, star or superstar level talents. The problem is when you reset an entire roster and now every single other piece is new, that's going to take a long time to figure everything out. Mm-hmm. Like I know you're going to defer to the big guys, but that doesn't mean like you need some sort of continuity, and you don't even have continuity in your three stars. You do with two of them, but one of them doesn't play but 35 games, 40 games, 50 games a year. And then the other one, you know, is coming into his own as a player. So I don't know. I'm intrigued to see how that works. But again, don't forget, like all of the other pieces are new. Like, there's a bunch of new arrivals. And how does that work out? How do you piece it all together? And that's going to take Nick Nurse and Bobby Jackson, you know, Brian Gates. They've got a huge, huge job in front of them as coaches.
That's one of the number one things I'm concerned about with them. Like, obviously, the talent is there, particularly with their, you know, big three, if you will. But, and that's a lot of new players.
Yeah.
That's the thing I just get hung up on with them. It's a lot of new players. Where you at with Milwaukee?
That's a tough one. I think they're, like, their last ditch effort last season flopped, and now they're in a really bad situation where most of their roster is just, it's not even aging. It's just over the, it's past its prime. And so how far can Giannis carry you? And I mean, look, I mean, not that we should look at Olympic basketball as like the end all be all, but even that, he showed like he can't carry you. He can't carry a bunch of guys who aren't, you know, aren't good enough. And that's unfortunate, but like, I kind of feel like it's the same thing with the Bucks. Like Chris Middleton, unfortunately, you know, the body hasn't been able to hold up, and Brook Lopez is, you know, aging, you know, what, 35 years old. So Dame, I'm not trusting Dame to play more than 60 games. Maybe he does, but maybe he doesn't. But either way, like, the defense won't be there. And, you know, what will he lose his legs, and how much will that impact him? I mean, you're asking a lot out of Dame. There's a lot of positions there. I still love Bobby Portis there, but I don't know that that team is built to do anything more than be a second round playoff team. And they haven't even really been that strong getting to that point the last couple of years.
The one thing I'll say about last year is a little unfair. They lost Giannis for sure. Did Dame miss a game or two in the playoffs? I know he played in the playoffs.
Oh, Dame missed time in the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Indiana was a bad matchup for him all year, so maybe they wouldn't have won that series anyway. I would have picked them to win the series. But
would you have thought that going in? Like, why is Indiana such a bad matchup for Milwaukee?
I don't know. They didn't beat them all year, though. I think they were like 4-1 against Milwaukee.
Indiana. Damn, Buddy Hield.
Right. And it took Giannis having a record night to beat them, and then they wouldn't give him the basketball.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. That damn Buddy Hield.
So that's the only thing I would say about them is their failure last year had a lot to do with their best player going down. If they can stay healthy, I'd like to see what they can do.
Coach, though, like, it felt like there was stuff surrounding them all year.
It wasn't smooth for sure.
And maybe that's Dame and Giannis getting acclimated. Maybe it's the thing with is it Adrian Griffin not working out. Maybe it's that. I don't know.
I look at them more like Denver. Like, I don't think their window is slammed shut, but this is about the year. Mm-mm. And if it don't happen this year, I think one of those, and if it's like another first round exit, maybe even a second round exit, Giannis and or Dame probably going to ask for a trade.
I would look at them even more as like Philadelphia, where, well, at least Philadelphia has a young player that's up and coming. And, you know, I think the one thing the Denver's tried to do is they've tried to backfill some of their, you know, their guys who are aging out or leaving via free agency. I don't see a lot of that with Milwaukee, you know, and you have to have like sort of a pipeline going, and Milwaukee looks like it's the same, like five or six guys, and you're expecting something totally different. And I just don't know that, you know, and we could say, oh, well, you know, injuries caught those guys in the playoffs. It's like, okay, but most of their players outside of Giannis, and even Giannis is approaching 30, right? Most of them are 34, 35, 36. Like, that's tough.
Which, I mean, to be fair and to be honest, like, it's not a bad thing. It's not a ridiculous thing that the Bucks window is closing. It's been open for 5-6 years. They got a championship out of it. And it's the same thing I feel with Denver. They've, you know, maybe a year or two shorter has been their window, but it's not like, oh, the second year and the window's closing. They've been a championship caliber team for 4, maybe 5 years. They got one, And they got one more, both of those teams got one more last ditch effort to try and get another one before the window closes. You get in the windows usually outside of the Warriors or and LeBron James is.
LeBron got like, his own window. That's crazy.
Right, he's got his own house.
Yeah.
But even still, LeBron's window closed.
That's not true. The Lakers' window might have closed. I don't think LeBron's closed.
Well, no, his ability to take a team, I mean, let's not act like he doesn't have a superstar playing next to him. His ability to take a team, whether it's, you know, again, it's an island of misfit toys down there. They've never put together the right roster around him. But they haven't been able to do, you know, they won
a title, right? And they went to the conference finals.
He's also currently leading America to a gold medal. let's not forget that. He can lead a team, a team full of the greatest players, you know, in the game, but he can lead a team.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he can't lead a team, but can he lead a team to a high-level playoff series at age 40? Through an 82-game season. And, you know, again, we're slowly seeing the numbers come down a little bit. What he's been able to do as a player is remarkable. But they made zero changes during the offseason, the Lakers.
That's like, wild.
Outside of J.J. Redick, I don't think they made a single change. They drafted Dalton Knecht. And then you're kind of hoping that you get some of these guys back that are okay players, but can they be difference makers? Can a Jared Vanderbilt or... Lauren Wood and all these, not Lauren, Christian Wood, all these guys that missed so much time last year, can they help you make a jump? And I have a tough time believing it.
I understand. What about the Pacers? The window cracked open.
Not even like a little bit. It's
open.
Somebody's lifting it up right now.
Okay. That's what you disagree, Hammer?
I don't know.
Not open yet?
They're such a strange team because didn't they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals?
No,
but I don't think any of us thought that that was like, I don't know if that's
a little
who
Atlanta-ish.
They were.
Yeah, a little Atlanta-ish.
But they're better than Atlanta, though, I do think.
But it also, I think it spoke to the lack of depth in the Eastern Conference.
But I think they'll be better this year. I think they'll be a better basketball team this year. I'm not saying they're going back to the Eastern Conference Finals or going to the finals. I think when you watch them, you'll watch them and go, this is a better basketball team than they were last year.
No, I agree. I agree. And I think, you know, their window with Pascal Siakam is what, 2-3 years? Like it's a pretty small window here for them to be good with this collection of players. But they do have some up and coming guys outside of Tyrese that could be huge for them down. Don't they have Jairus Walker? They've got Benedict Mathurin. You know, that Nembhard really came on. Who's
30th ranked point guard according to Hoopsite?
Who's that? Nembhard?
Mm-hmm. He was 30.
Okay. Yeah, he's good though. Like I would take him on my team.
Yeah.
They've got some. Not Vassell, but who's the other kid that they have at small forward that they picked up? Second.
No, this isn't who you're talking about, but they still got Obi Toppin on the squad. They re-signed him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They do have a lot of talent. It's just you're wondering if that's one of those teams that like gels and plays way bigger than you kind of thought. Aaron Nesmith, that's who I was trying to come up with.
Oh.
I like Aaron Nesmith. He actually, you know, looked really good throughout the year. He shot 42% from three. Very super versatile scorer coming out of college, and he's been good.
They'll be a fascinating team to watch.
Yeah.
A little bit more so for me than Orlando.
I was just about to ask about Orlando. I don't think their window's open yet.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think their window's open yet.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're probably, like, they did the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope move, which will probably help them bump up in the Eastern Conference standings, but I don't think they're a team I would fully fear. Give them two years.
No, the curtains are open. It's about to happen.
Okay.
It's about to happen, especially with that boy Paolo there. It's about to happen, but the curtains have been open, and it's being prepared for the window to be lifted.
Yeah, they were a big piece away.
How do you prepare to lift the window?
Yeah, you have a lot of like.
That's very detailed.
Up and down yeah. Windows.
Well, you gotta get the curtains open a little bit, and then in some cases you gotta. Well, it depends on what you want to do. You gotta open the blinds.
No.
And then you gotta reach through the blinds, open a window that way. Some people lift the blinds all the way up.
So we're going with the window opening this way.
I'm going up.
You got one of those rich people houses with all the windows that go up and down.
Yeah. I'm going up and down. And I just went to the window right now. I said, let me open these curtains real quick.
You want to explain yourself? You see Jesse's text. You want to explain yourself?
Yeah, I don't know. Like they got one of those for show windows. They got a fake window.
Oh no!
Like
it's like a painting. Yeah, you can't even.
It's
see
one of
it.
Those where you can kind of like do the little round thing or whatever. It kind of opens halfway. Like they got Paolo, but I don't know what else they have after.
It's
that.
A bathroom window.
Yeah.
Oh no!
I don't know what they have after that. Like after Paolo,
they got Franz Wagner.
That's
like
crazy.
You're gonna win a title with that.
Well, that's why it's not open yet. They're still.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if like that's ever.
He gave him a bathroom window that you got to turn for.
They've been working at it for a while. I don't know.
You got Paolo.
Paolo's nice.
The window is going to be open at some point. The window is going to be. You got. He's one of them ones.
He is, but I don't know if they have the right guy around him yet.
Yeah, not yet. Don't get him. Don't get him. Because they got Paolo. You got that guy. You'd be all right.
All right.
That is funny.
I thought Jesse was sending the time cue. I look over and he said Orlando got a fake window. Man.
Oh, that's tough.
Hey, there was a flag that was missed too. Chatty House.
On who?
Might have been on KC, I think.
What'd I say?
We'll play on though.
Okay. Go. Hey, look under the hood. Look under the hood. See what you can find. Yeah, but I'm more intrigued by Indiana than Orlando. We head back west. Are you out on the Pelicans? Like, do you think the Pelicans could miss the playoffs?
No, I don't think they'll miss the playoffs. No. I mean, they went out, they got DeJounte. They still have Brandon Ingram. I think their center position is like a mess. Yeah. Between, you know, what do they brought in Daniel Tice, and it's almost like they had some weird plan to go get a center that never materialized. I'm not sure what that plan was. Mm. But you know, that's still a team. They're super deep. They lost Najee Marshall, but still, I really like what they're building there. I don't know. Like, is it possible? Sure. It's possible. I think, if they were to miss the playoffs, it's because a couple of teams that we're not thinking of all that seriously. You know, as much as I can, you know, leave a big giant question mark on Ja Morant, it's possible that Memphis jumps right back into the fray and is a good team again. It's also possible that the Houston Rockets put things together and are like really good. So there's all of these like question marks of the team below them that could, you know, sort of drag them back down. But I also don't think that teams like the Clippers, teams like Golden State or the Lakers are all that scary. And so, you know, that kind of leaves the West. I don't know if the West is going to be as deep, you know, maybe it is, but, you know, teams like the Suns, I think the Suns are going to be really solid, but they're like one or two injuries away, expected injuries away from like being a mess. Mm. So
I think KC said this the other day. I think the Suns might be the exact same as they were last year.
I like their peripheral moves better this offseason. Mm-hmm. You know, I like Tyus Jones, and then have Tyus Jones go out and start talking about how, you know, they promised him the starting job. I thought that was interesting, starting point guard job. He's just a really good game manager and a knockdown shooter and a really good defensive player. I think he'll help that team, but like, what does that mean? They're going to go super small? You're going to have Bradley Beal at the two and Devin Booker at the three and Kevin Durant at the four. But again, I like some of the peripheral stuff that they did. You know, I think they're a lot deeper. Like, we can name 8 NBA players that are legit on that team, like right away. You know, whether it's you know, again, they Plumlee, Tyus Jones. You know, like they added depth to that team that I did not think they had last year.
They did a good job, like you said, with those signings. I just you talked about the starting lineup, and you know, I think about the closing lineup too, and that's I don't think that's going to be good enough to have them elevate. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be good enough to have them be around the same 40. Will they get 48 or 49 wins? Maybe they get 50.
Phoenix was 49.
Yeah, there's no doubt that's something they can do. But I don't know if they raise their ceiling with that. But even with that being said, I thought they were made for the playoffs last year, and they end up getting swept. But I still think they're a team that's built for the playoffs.
Well, this could be a good thing or a bad thing, but KD and Book are playing right now. Like a team that we're concerned about their availability for the year, you've got two guys who are going to be playing in, you know, into the middle of this month, ish.
Yep.
Yeah, but maybe that's not a big deal. Maybe that's good for them in October, in November. Maybe it's not the best for them in May.
Right. Right.
Then I know that's the, you know, that's always the Olympic thing, is you're really cutting up your off season a little bit. But with guys that you get concerned with, for guys who are on a team that it seems to be the sole concern is health and availability, you know, it doesn't matter until it does.
Right.
And these guys are logging minutes right now, big minutes. Like, they're, you know, Book has been really good. KD has been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good team. I do think that they're good. I think they'll be better than they were last year.
Okay.
The Suns. Yeah. But we'll have to worry about injuries and see how much that impacts that team.
Yeah.
You higher on the Grizzlies or the Rockets?
I'm higher on probably the Rockets than the Grizzlies, okay. But the Grizzlies are such a wild card. I don't know. I don't think we haven't got to see how big of an impact the Steven Adams loss is. And we also haven't, like, again, we haven't got to see how big the Steven Adams, like, arrival is for Houston. And if Steven Adams is any of the player that he was before, and, you know, you can get 15 to 18 minutes out of him playing behind Şengün, man, that's going to be tough. Because that dude sets mean picks. He plays defense, rebounds. I just think he adds, like, a toughness level to that team. And they have all of a sudden a bunch of tough guys, you know, whether it's Dylan Brooks or Fred VanVleet or Cam Whitmore. Like, they got some tough dudes on that team that just make that team, like, not only are they long and athletic, but they're super physical. Mm-hmm. They're like a nightmare matchup for the Kings.
I'd go with the Grizzlies. I mean, we saw in 2 weeks how they just looked different when Ja came back. And I don't think they're 2-seed Grizzlies anymore, but I think they're going to be in the mix. I definitely think they're going to be in the mix.
Jesse's making us end the show. We appreciate you guys, right? We appreciate you guys so much for being with us. Make sure you check out the Kings Beat, thekingsbeat.com, the Kings Beat podcast, all of that great content that James still put out there in addition to all of his wonderful work on the Insiders. If you have the time, come through, see us. We're going to be at Walmart tomorrow at 7901 Watt Avenue. We'll be there from 12 to 4 collecting school supplies to benefit the Propel Project. So if you're out and about, come through and see us, 7901 Watt Avenue from 12 to 4. If not, have a fantastic weekend. And we will see you Monday beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos gigantes.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.